This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise BizBytes. It is just after 12.04 on this Tuesday, the 7th of May, 2019. Today I'm in the studio with...
Arvind Yuvraj.
And Jeff Sundu.
We are freezing to death here in the studio, ladies and gentlemen. I will tell you this now. Inside the studio today, I think you can almost see your own breath. It's that cold.
Almost.
Yeah.
Almost.
Anyway, not that we're complaining, because we are going to be talking about, Uber at the minute, or rather ride-hailing drivers, is going to be the topic of our conversation today. I'm hoping to hear from drivers of Grab, former drivers of Uber, and what's the other one? MyCar. A few others that I know are out there. SoCar, I think, is another one. Any of you drivers that are involved with any of these ride-hailing apps, please do get in touch, because what we're asking is whether or not ride-hailing drivers should be considered employees or independent contractors. Now, the reason that we're asking this is that a Swiss court has declared that a former Uber driver was an employee of the ride-sharing firm and not an independent contractor in a potentially landmark decision earlier in the week. Yesterday, in fact. I'll give you more details about it a little bit later on. But before we get to that, we'll talk about the other stories that we'll be covering today. We'll be talking about Magic, won't we, Arvind?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What are we talking about with Magic?
We're talking about the GAP, which is the Global Accelerator Program.
That sounds very exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Might even have some music ready for that as well. Mm-hmm. And then wrapping up with... what's the title of your story, Jeff?
Crossy Roads, Hefty Fines.
There you go. And we're playing nursery rhymes as well here on the show. And if you'd like to get in touch, of course, 018-789-8899. We have Christine Wong. She's our producer for the day on the desk. She'll be pushing buttons and doing faders and all kinds of stuff. We do want your tweets. We do want your WhatsApps. And we, of course, would like you to contribute over on Insta Story. So... a Swiss court, then, has ruled that a former Uber driver was an employee of the ride-sharing firm, not an independent contractor, in a potentially landmark decision. This is according to their lawyer. The ruling by the Labour Court in Lausanne, which has not been made public yet, but we do know about it, is the first of its kind in Switzerland, and this is a news piece that was leaked to AFP. Between April 2015 and December 2016, the driver was logged into the Uber Pop app for more than 5,600 hours and completed more than 9,000 trips. Uber Pop was a version of the application meant for individuals not categorized as professional drivers. It was operated by a Dutch-based Uber subsidiary, Racia Operations BV. Banned in Switzerland in 2017, but UberX, which only uses professional drivers, remains available in the country. So after reportedly receiving a host of bad reviews, the driver received a text message in late December of 2016 informing him that his login had been revoked. In his complaint to the Labour Court, the driver argued that he had been wrongfully terminated from an employment contract without proper notice, which is a violation of Swiss laws, and demanded back pay for holidays, amongst other benefits. So Racia, the Uber subsidiary, countered that its agreements establish drivers as independent contractors who only have the right to file grievances with arbitrators in the Netherlands, not labour courts in their home country. In a ruling delivered to the parties last week, the Lausanne court found that it had the right to hear the case and that the driver, whose identity has not been disclosed, suffered a termination without just cause. Mm-hmm. Racia has 30 days to appeal. Now, the case could have far-reaching consequences across Switzerland, with Uber drivers potentially being considered employees entitled to social security protections and proper notice in advance of termination. Uber have already been hit by a series of scandals, as we know, over executive misconduct, toxic work atmosphere, and potentially unethical competitive practices. They're also poised to go public and preparing to sell 207 million shares, raising up to $10 billion in a US IPO. A couple of things to add to this story. First of all, Uber have always advertised themselves as an additional income. That's how they've always done it, right from day one. Mm-hmm. The income has always meant to be secondary. However, if you look at it, the bonus structure that they offer is designed to encourage hundreds of trips per week. Mm-hmm. If you do hundreds of trips per week, you can't have another job because you are working so hard.
Full time.
You're working full time. Mm-hmm. So that's where the argument comes from. And I would imagine that out there, some of our Grab drivers and some of the other company drivers are in the same predicament as well. They have to do an awful lot of these rides to be able to make ends meet. So that's where I kind of want to ask people at home what their opinion of it is, right? If you are sat in a car for 8 hours per day and you're going left and right and up and down the city, and you're picking people up, and you're starting at 4 a.m. in the morning, and you're finishing at 4 p.m. at night. In my mind, that's a full-time job.
Yeah, so I don't use these ride-hailing apps often, even when Uber was in town, and now, you know, Grab, they kind of like have the monopoly of it, although there are many other smaller kind of ride-hailing apps in the market, especially in Klang Valley. But whenever I do get on these apps and these services, I always tend to just ask the driver, like, you know, what do you do besides this? Or how long have you been doing this? Yeah. Generally, like, the first question is, like, you know, like, has it been a long day? That will be my, like, first kind of question, just to see. Then he'll, like, oh, you know, yeah, I started at 6 a.m. It's already 3 p.m. So, you know, I'm going to end my day. So now I'm like, wow, that's, like, going to be 12 hours of working, of driving, literally, right? And then I'll ask, like, how long have you been doing this? And normally they'll say, like, you know, a few months or at least a few years. Or some of them have even, you know, started back in the Uber days, and then, you know, My Taxi came along, and then into Grab, and they've stuck throughout too. And most of them don't really have, the people that I spoke to, by the way, which not, it's not a lot, but most of them don't have another job.
Right.
That's what they do full time. They used to have another job, but they used to make so much of money in the early days of these apps that they quit that job, and now they're doing it full time. But then the incentives and the perks have been limited and cut down. That they are now doing it a lot more than they used to do before. Hence, the driving, you know, way past normal kind of driving hours that you
or even normal working hours.
Normal working hours.
So interesting, because the last few times I've taken one of these ride-hailing things, all of them have been part-timers. Like, so I ask the same questions. Like, I'll go in, I'll be like, is this a full-time thing? Is it a part-time thing? How many hours do you drive a day? And they're all like, oh, I either do it in the morning after I drop off my kids at school. So they have, like, flexible work hours. So he'll drop off the kids at school, and then he'll do a couple of rounds, you know, pick up a few people, and then he will go to his workplace. Every, I think the last five or six rides that I've taken, all of them have been part-timers.
Oh.
So they're not even dressed for to be a driver.
Yeah.
They're dressed for the work that they're going to go to.
Right.
They're just doing this to fill up time.
Right.
Which, so when this story came out, I was like, I think those people would prefer to be freelancers.
Freelancers,
they wouldn't want to be employees, because if you're employees, I'm sure that comes with its own sort of like commitments, obligations. You can't be free to like choose your time, choose your hours, just, you know, just dictate like, oh, I have a couple of hours free today, I'm going to drive. I have no free hours tomorrow. I don't want to go to quote unquote work.
Which was the beauty of it when it first started, like you referred earlier on, Jeff. You know, that's what people wanted from it. They knew they could make a quick buck, you know, at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, and maybe on a Friday and Saturday night, and when people were free and they weren't doing their secondary job. You know, we've already got feedback over on Insta Story, which we'll get to in a minute. But, you know, there's one piece here that jumps out immediately, which from Ray Core, who said, look, if they're employees, then Grab should also be contributing to their EPF and their SOXO. And I think that's a big issue.
That's the big, issue.
Yeah, right? We don't think about the long term, right? Not only about the EPF contribution to if they're full timers, but also just the security of it. Like, for example, you know, when Uber was shut down, or like they've got bought over by Grab, right? And the drivers were all, I remember it was headache for them. You know, the Uber drivers, they were like, oh, you know, like now they're moving, and they were left in days. They were confused what to do, and you know, they have to move to Grab and stuff, right? So that kind of assurance comes with the benefit of being, you know, employed full time.
Employed, right?
If you're independent, that you will have that cloud hanging over you. And like, imagine if your car breaks down, for example, in between a ride. You know what happens then, right? Like does the ride hailing app will help you to, you know, fix your car? It's you know, because you're using a private vehicle. If, for example, you know, we have this thing of BYOD in offices, bring your own devices, right?
Yeah.
So that works well because a lot of people use their own laptops at work. But your laptop is insured. Most of us are insured. Most companies, they will insure your personal laptop if you're using it for work. So if your laptop dies, your company will then be able to send it for repair and pay for the damages that has incurred in the office, right? But does it apply for the same thing as well if you're a driver for a ride-hailing app? Like, what happens if a car breaks down? You have to pay
you
for it.
You have to pay for it.
You have to pay for it. So, you know, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And the long-term effect of your car being driven around back and forth on a daily basis, you know, hundreds of kilometers a day, your mileage racks up really fast and your services comes with
the wear and tear.
The wear and tear. Instead of servicing once every 3 months, you're probably servicing once every month or even sooner than that. And that's money. And once you hit, like, after five different services, you got to, you know, change different parts of it. And your cost just keeps going up. You're always chasing to make a profit.
I mean, especially if you're doing 5,600 hours in a year.
Yeah.
You know, that is a full-time job. There's no denying that.
Yeah.
Right. We've got to take a break. Let us know your thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Get us via Twitter. Get us via Instagram. They're both at BFM Radio. And, of course, on WhatsApp, 01878898899. We're going to take a short break with some Green Day with Hitching a Ride. When we come back, more discussion on this same topic. Should ride-hailing drivers be considered employees or independent contractors? Let us know. BFM 89.9.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Arvind Ibraj
and Jeff Sandhu.
We'll be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock. If you'd like to join our discussion, we are talking about how a Swiss court has declared driver an Uber employee rather than an independent contractor. Our discussion today is about whether or not they should be employees, considered employees or independent contractors. This is because this one guy, he drove for more than 5,600 hours and completed more than 9,000 trips. Awful lot of trips. It's taken up a lot of his time, a lot of his days, you know, probably 6 or 7 days a week. Awful lot of hours throughout that day. He has essentially no protection for unemployment. He's got no medical coverage, none of that stuff that a full-time employee would have. This is what we're asking you guys, you know, chip into the conversation. We've got some WhatsApps, we've got some tweets. Let's do WhatsApp first off.
Yeah, so this comes from Anton, who says, ride-hailing drivers should be employees. And then numbers 4555 says that e-hailing driver or EHD should be considered as employees by e-hailing companies or EHCs. But EHD should be allowed to for multiple EHCs then. This will also help eliminate drivers using other people's IDs to drive for EHCs.
I have an e-headache listening to that.
And then we have a message from numbers 3297, who says that we can only comment sensibly when we know the grounds for the decision of the Swiss court on Uber.
Let's move on to Twitter. There's a few have replied in. So Nick Hasyudin has said that they are independent contractors. So and Kirin replies, independent contractors, they work when they want to and with whom they want to. Other e-hailing services, they provide their own vehicles and their own services. Grab, etc., are just a platform.
And that's the argument that
The flexibility, if you're an independent contractor, you know, you could work anytime you want, you could drive with whoever you want. But I think when you hit a certain amount of hours in any platform, I think that's where there needs to be a guide. You know, we work like at least what, you know, 7, 8 hours, 9 hours in a day, right? So maybe there should be some guidelines into what exactly is an independent contractor and a full-time employee, right? So if a driver has exceeded a certain amount of hours driving for a particular platform, then maybe they should be given, not forced or mandatory, but they should be given an option to take up being a full-time employee. employee, right? So you have that option once you hit a certain hours, because a lot of people, like, they're just doing this, you know, for hours and hours, and because they're looking for security, whether it's financial security or something, right? So when they're so passionately doing this, maybe it's good that you reward them, like, hey, so you've already done X amount of hours, you know, over the past few months, and you are now entitled to become a full-time employee under our platform. And these are the things that you need to know if you're a full-time employee. Like, you know, you can't drive for a different platform and stuff, but these are the perks that you would get, right? Health benefits or insurance and EPF and stuff like that, right?
Right.
So if they were given this option, then maybe things would be a lot clearer. But if you don't hit that threshold, then you're just forever an independent contractor.
Over in the UK, when they have employment agencies, I'm sure we have a similar thing here. What happens is you sign up with this agency, you give them your CV, and you tell them what industry you'd like to work within, and they will find you a temporary job, which normally ranges from like a month's worth of work to 3 months, 6 months, up to a year sometimes, and sometimes even longer. And it can be, it's mainly kind of clerical work or stuff like that. And it tends to work out that these agency workers get paid more than the full-time employee. Not much more, but a little bit more. And the reason that they get paid more money is that they don't get the benefits that the full-time employee has, but they also have that thing hanging over their head that at any time their contract can be terminated. So they can be pulled out at any time. But there's some real kind of caveats as well. So if you have a sick day and you don't tell your employer or your agency of that day, and you don't provide them with proof that you are sick, you can, you know, essentially lose that temporary contract. But this is how a lot of companies are working nowadays. Even Walmart in the UK do very similar things. You know, you have this temporary contract or a zero-hour contract, all of these kind of things, which are a kind of precursor to this gig economy. And we thought that the gig economy, when it came in, would be ideal for everybody. You know, you work when you want, you stop when you want. But it turns out that it's not as glorious as we think it is, right?
Yeah. So also now, I think even looking at our local landscape, we have the PSV thing coming up in July. So even if you do ride hailing and stuff, even if you are a freelancer, you will still have to apply for the PSV to be able to do this moving forward. And you have until, what, July 12 or the end of July, I'm not sure, to get that license done. So that's going to cost them, I think, a couple of hundred a year, or like 115 a year or something like that. And the cost itself costs 200, plus there are additional costs to go along with it. I'm not sure of all the details. So if you what's happening is if you are freelancing and if you're doing this on a part-time basis, now the problem comes up of, do you want to do this course or not? Like, does the PSV, is it worth it for you if it's not a full-time job? And if all the people doing this were employees, then by right they would get this done for them by the company,
right?
Yeah. But now they're in a dilemma where you are part of a company's fleet and you're not sure if you want to continue doing it, if it's not worth it for you. And because you're not employees, you don't get the benefit of having the company do it for you instead. And now the company has to decide if they are okay or willing to let go of so many part-timers. Because you see, when it gets cut down to like a part-time staff, then you have the problem of no drivers, no service in certain areas and stuff. So what happens now? Like you know, who compensates who, and who is willing to take up the cost of stuff like this that pops up? Because July is not far away. It's a couple of months down the road.
Yeah.
And it will cut down the fleet by a certain amount. How much or how many, we'll have to wait and see.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, if you are a driver for any of these ride-hailing apps, or if you're a former driver, do let us know. You know, get in touch. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. We're always interested to talk about that. If you're on Twitter or on Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Jeff, any more to add before we take a short break?
Yeah, so e-hailing on Twitter says that e-hailing drivers to be paid employee benefits needs to cost into the fare structure. EPF, the 9% plus 11%, SOXO insurance are additional costs. across. At APAT Channel, which is the Malaysian Land Public Transport Agency, they issued new regulations, but they didn't consider the cost to drivers in shared economy versus highly subsidized taxi services. So, yeah, interesting tweet there. Thank you.
There we go. Again, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter or Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. We are talking about whether or not these ride-hailing drivers should be considered employees or whether or not they are independent contractors. Let us know. We're going to take a short break. Some music coming up from the Beatles with Why Don't We Do It in the Road? When we get back, putting a little magic in your business here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.